ladies and gentlemen, and fans from Texas. Boy, do we have a show for you today. This episode is brought to you by Grasshopper. For all your medicinal recreational cannabis needs, make sure you make that card clack for the Emo Brown Social Club and get 50% back. But it doesn't stop there. Emo Brown Podcast is also brought to you by Bobby Tribal's very own Tribal Streetwear, as well as Isaac Tribal's very own Silk Cloud. Oh my God. The whole Ruiz family gets our back, and we have theirs. Drop your card, get a discount, go online, use Emo30 on SilkCloud.com, and you can get this killer brown windbreaker because I'd be breaking wind in it. What's up? No?
I think that's how that works, yeah.
But you can't make a clack on the Pendletons, though.
No. Not the Pendletons. Is that a Pendleton dog?
Hell yeah.
The Pendletons, I have, they don't have buttons or on the.
These are called the Canyon Cut. They're the cowboy ones.
Oh, no. Usted es vaquero, viejo. Usted sí es vaquero. Oh, that sultry southern voice that you are hearing across your radio airwaves is none other than the homie, formerly from San Diego, Barrio Logan, and all of those beautiful parts, now from Texas, San Antos, a.k.a. San Antonio, home of the Spurs and bad Mexican food. Or am I wrong?
Bad Mexican.
Is it really, dude? Yeah, I just took horrible. A guess, but you're from there. So now I was like, all right.
No.
Ernie from Texas, everybody. Look at the motherfucker roll them looking like Billy Ray Cyrus, homie. Fucking Miley Cyrus on the good one.
Hey.
Good for you, bro. Look at you.
Thank you.
It's been a minute.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. Cállatelo.
Hey, I'm just being grateful.
You were once on the podcast a couple of years ago when we were still doing this in the basement of the brewery. You cruised through. We've known each other. We didn't really like hang out with each other, but now I feel like our friendship has developed. You moved to Texas. Let's get an update on all things Ernie. People, don't sweat it. Barry's behind the production camera today.
Barry's
hit me with that. Oh, shit, ladies and gentlemen. Estamos con el compa Barry. You have a microphone?
I got to take this phone call. Mute myself real quick.
All right, Barry, handle your shit. You're a weenie. Compa Ernie, welcome back to San Diego. You literally just drove into San Diego this morning.
Yeah.
What was the first stop when you got here?
Cuatro Milpas.
Cuatro Milpas, for all of you don't know. Cuatro Milpas, world-renowned. Best flour tortillas, handmade every day. They don't really have an horario, a time of closure. As soon as they're out of tortillas, I think that's when they wrap it up.
No, 3 o'clock.
But they never wear it. Do they stay open till 3?
Yeah.
I've gone there till 2 and they're not even there anymore.
Yeah, because they run out.
That's what I'm saying, dog. They're there as long as there's food. And what kind of people do we expect to see at Cuatro Milpas these days? Welcome to Barrio Logan. Give it to me now.
Today when I was in line, I ran into this guy. He was wearing red and red and his girlfriend was wearing red. He's like, man, I ain't been on this side town in a long time. I said, oh, obviously wearing the wrong color on this side of town too. Oh,
there's colors in Barrio Logan or what?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, red is obviously a color that was never really
embraced.
Embraced in the southern south of LA because you got the Norteños and Sureños. Mm. So that red color represents the Norteños. So that's a bad color.
That's
so
a bad look down here.
I
don't know anything. Well, don't.
I wouldn't wear red down there.
Don't try to lasso me into this conversation. Well, yo no sé nada de eso.
Nah, it's I don't like the color. It's just.
Tell us about your origin in Barrio Logan. Tell us about how where you're from, how you got started, where you are now.
So originally, I was born in San Diego, California. My mom is from San Diego. My dad's from Marfa, Texas.
Marfa, Texas.
Marfa, Texas. So my mom used to live across the street from where Puerto Vida was. And still is. There's a place across
on Logan.
On Logan Avenue. So you used to live across upstairs and then moved to Shelltown. And then my grandfather was one of the frequent members of the bar that they used to have down there, which was the old La Bamba room before Ernie opened it up again. It was a bar down there on the corner. And it was a big fishing area because they had the cannery down there. And a lot of the boats were stationed down there on 10th Avenue. So that's where kind of my background from San Diego comes from. My dad's from Marfa, Texas. He's the youngest of 13. And all of them were in.
13, fool.
Yeah.
A baker's dozen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of salgados.
So all the males were in every war. It's kind of like Lieutenant Dan. They were all in every war. They were all service. They all served. So.
Are you a veteran?
Huh?
Are you a veteran?
No.
Your brother? Any of your brothers or siblings?
No, it's just me and my brothers.
So yeah,
it's just we kind of stopped it at that.
It ends right there. Mm-hmm. Well, look,
wanted to, but it didn't work out.
No,
no.
What happened? It sounds like you got some secrets. What happened?
No,
you got a bum leg. What happened?
No, I just divvied into other things. At a young age, after high school, instead of going into the military or doing what I wanted to do, I just put myself on a fishing boat.
Nice.
Because I knew that if I didn't, if I stayed what I was doing, I was going to get either be dead or in jail. So
what were you doing, man?
It's the people you hang out with, you know?
This isn't the time to get shy, Ernie.
No.
Ernie from Texas, this is your opportunity to shine, not be shy.
Is that just the neighborhood that we grew up in? I mean, and you're kind of expected to follow a certain path, and I chose not to follow that path. So I had uncles, cousins, everybody was in prison. So I always said I had the best of both worlds. And so my dad, who was a police officer and who was in the military, had that side of the family. And then my mom's side of the family, we were all convicts and in jail. And
opposites attract.
Leaders in prison gangs. But at the same time, I learned from the best of both worlds, you know, and what I wanted and what I didn't want. So I kind of steered that line right in the middle and kind of made me who I was and move forward from that.
You were a force to be reckoned with in Barrio Logan, man. And I remember when I jumped into the brewery game and we started distributing kegs, you were actually the first person to buy kegs from us outside of Chula Vista.
Needle in the hay.
Needle in the hay, bro. You just bought it at Salud Tacos. And that's where I met you. Mm. Tell us about your involvement with Salud Tacos.
So I was in the marine industry for 18 years and then I got laid off and pretty much was trying to do different jobs. And
Ernie, you're a hustler, fool.
And Ernie pretty much was like, hey, dude, you need a job, come in and I could use you some help. So I went from making $110,000-$150,000 a year to $10.50 an hour and just made my way up from there. Just worked the front with the girls and then became the manager and then general manager kind of position and then developed it to where I think it needed to be. And at the same time, it was going into a family business and I'm obviously not family. So it was a mutual time to where it's like, hey, it's time for me to move on and keep growing. So I went down from Salud and then from Salud I left and went to Thorn Brewing.
I completely forgot that you were a fixture at Thorn Brewing. What did you do at Thorn?
I changed everything.
Yeah? Were you like the general manager, tasting room manager? What was the role there?
When I got there, it was Jay Jones. Jay was the manager. And when Jay left, I ended up helping taking over the positions and getting that tap room more
Barrio friendly,
changing the music, putting some lights and some decorations, changing some pictures up, and it really
you made up. It successful. Yeah. You made it what Barrio Logan Thorn is recognized as today or during the heyday of craft beer. Because let's be real, man, we share memes a lot together because you live in Texas now. We're always talking shit about how craft beer was, how craft beer is, and potentially how craft beer is going to be. You know, so you've had your finger in the middle of a lot of things, like accidentally, just by default, bro. Alberta scotch, that's it. Way.
I've had my finger in a lot of things, but at the same time, I it's all with just pure emotion behind it that I just want to see the best thing happen for that business or project or whatever it may be. So when I got to Thorn, people were coming up to me like, what are you doing here? Like, you should be up the street. I said, new opportunity.
Okay.
And taking that opportunity and
really was that a controversial opportunity or?
No.
Okay.
But at the same time, Thorn was really kind of not looked at as they were like the white brewery that came into the business. But at the same time, it's like, what are you going to do for us? And so I think kind of when I came in, it was just like, hey, this is what we can do for you guys as far as the community. And doing a lot of community events there and the upstairs and renting things out like for the bomberos or community events upstairs. And so turning that and making it more lively. And then eventually my talents were recognized and I was asked and I came in next door and helped start out the Rebrew.
That's right.
And the restaurant Hot Mess and the barbecue side of it. So
you ran that side of town right there, bro. Pretty much that whole block that Thorn was on. You took care of everything that was there.
Yeah.
That's it's overwhelming. Yeah. It's a daunting task.
Yeah. So it was a lot of work, but you know what? It was so rewarding to see when those events were very successful. That was the whole thing. That was the reward of it.
Yeah, because Thorn was popping off.
Yeah.
I feel like Thorn was the brewery in Barrio Logan.
Even if Thorn wasn't having the event or Hot Mess or the Side Yard was having the event, let's go to Thorn. That's where everybody knew. That's where, hey, we're going to go to Thorn.
That was HQ on the block.
Exactly.
Very nice, bro. So why'd you leave fucking San Diego? How did you end up back in Texas, bro? Was that by design or what would happen?
It was kind of the luck of the draw. There was the whole housing thing was going on, and Barrio Logan, the whole gentrification thing with people buying properties and just gutting them and selling them for higher amount of money. I was on the border about getting out of there. I was totally fully invested in the community and in the group and in the barrio. And there was just something that I had to say, you know what, it's more than just me. It's my family, it's my kids, it's my wife. And seeing the quality of life just steadily declining in front of my face, I figured it was just time to pack up and move out.
That's a big move, man.
Yeah.
San Diego all your life, packing up and heading down to San Antonio, that is life-changing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely life-changing. I had been wanting to move to Texas, and I wanted to move to Marfa, but then it snowed in Marfa, and I'm like, oh, hell no, I hate the fucking snow.
I ain't about that snow. It's going to fuck with my boots.
And so from there, it was just something that, on top of it, like my son passing away from fentanyl, I was just like, you know what? Everything was just too fresh for me. I didn't want to be around the neighborhood because that's where he was always at. So it was just a scab that kept getting pulled off.
It was time.
Uh-huh. And so it was like, you know what? We just got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And so I made that decision for the better quality of life for my kids. I didn't want them going to San Diego High School. I couldn't afford St. Augustine High School. So you know what? Just get the hell out of here. There's nothing else. I was talking to the O-Matic guy, and it's just like San Diego almost seems like it's a crabs in a barrel kind of thing. And so mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to get away from that for a while.
So. It's a competitive town. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's weird where you could be doing very well, but there's outside forces trying to bring you down for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
It's strange, man. But you just got to keep doing your thing. But leaving San Diego, man, selling your pad, coming across some big money, because like you said, gentrification was driving costs up in the community and just in the housing. You probably made a pretty penny, went down south or what?
So I had an offer. I made a phone call when I knew I wanted to get out of here, and I made a phone call, and Destiny Rojas, she was my realtor. Shout out to Destiny. She came and she's like, hey, what's up, Ernie? So I knew Destiny from, we had that Too Short concert together that we hosted over at the Side Yard.
For sure.
And so she's like, okay, what do you want to do next? And so
uh-huh.
I'm like, I want to get the fuck out of here is what I want to do. So she's like, okay, how can I help you? So I'm like, this is my house. I know that house next door got 700,000. They have 9,000 square feet. I got 887 or something right here. They got 700,000 for their house.
Dude, that's a lot of square footage in a pad.
Yeah. It went from the front to the alley all the way back.
Wow.
I could have expended my house back, but at the same time, the dirt from the freeway, the sound from the freeway, the tweakers, the robber, all that stuff. I was like, I didn't want my kids seeing
it. It was time.
Yeah, it was time. And so I couldn't afford anything here, and I wanted to go to Texas, so why not have a new opportunity? So San Antonio was a spot. I went out there, found a house.
How much do houses cost down there? When you got it. I'm pretty sure prices have gone up now, but
yeah, they got
when you got it, how much was a house down there?
I got a 5-bedroom, 2,300 square foot for
$345. Shit. Oh, five-bedroom, bro. And how many square footage?
2,300.
That's big. That's big.
Yeah, it's a big house.
Yeah, because it's
like
one
of the, it reminds me of like those Scripps ranch houses.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's exactly one of those houses. And so when we were choosing the houses, it was like I was naming the houses like, okay, the White House, the Brown House, and then this one was the Ray Donovan house, because it reminded me of Ray Donovan. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of his house. It was like, that's a bad motherfucker. I want the Ray Donovan house.
How's life in Texas, dude? What do you do down there?
So I ended up getting a job as a pit master out there again, doing barbecue.
Damn fool, you're a hat, a different kind of hat wearer.
Yeah, yeah, man of many hats.
Dude, you from different chapters in your life, you just like move it. It's like the ball game when you're in the streets and they're like, oh, follow the ball, where's the ball?
Yeah,
and all of a sudden it disappears. That's you, man. Like you switch careers like on a drop of a dime.
Yeah, I do. My mother-in-law was just talking trash about it, but she's like, he does it good though.
Because so you're a hustler.
I'll perfect it and then I get bored. I want to keep learning. I want to keep feeding my brain.
You were an engineer for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And the layoff forced you to pivot and find whatever was out there. Your compa Ernie, Big Ernie from fucking Salud, offered you an opportunity. You killed it there. You built it there. You bought my first keg in Barrio Logan outside of Chula Vista. You put it in there. And then you jump from there. You moved over to Thorne. When at Thorne, as soon as you made some tweaks, made some adjustments, made them more barrio friendly, barrio accessible, you went over to Rebrew, Side Yard, all of these things. Look at you, man. And then you took your talents to Texas, to San Antonio.
I told the guy in Texas, I said, you know what? You just got the number one draft pick from San Diego.
Yeah, so, for real.
And so he was like, what?
I said, who are you?
Yeah, just wait. And so that's where I'm at right now. I have a great job right now as a pit master, a brand new restaurant that opened up, a $24 million build out.
What? Texas is on a different level, dude. Yeah,
shout
Texas,
it out. What's the name?
It's called Cherokee.
Cherokee.
Yeah, Cherokee at the Pearl. So.
Cherokee. What does that mean?
So Cherokee is named after the Texas Green Jay.
Uh-huh.
And the pathway of the Cherokee is from San Antonio through Mexico. So our cuisine is based on the path of the flight path of this bird. So it's Mexican and Texan cuisine Whoa. Combined together. So that's where the barbecue comes from.
Somebody was hella high when they discovered that. Huh?
Hella high.
Cherokee in San Antonio, Texas, with your pit master, El Compa Ernie Salgado. 9 out of 10, you would recommend people to move to Texas, huh? Would I make it in Texas? Would you recommend I move to Texas?
I think anybody can make it in Texas.
Okay.
For me, and I'll be honest, the thing that I don't like about Texas, I'm lonely. Mm. I have my wife, my family, but I don't have no friends out there.
It's the Lone Star State, so it's fitting that you're lonely.
But at the same time, it's like I miss the bonds that I made here, because that's what means a lot to me, is those friendships. And so I don't have that like I do here over there.
Yet or at all? You don't see an opportunity?
Maybe like one or two people.
Uh-huh.
But I'm very standoffish. I don't want new friends, you know. Mm. I was just like, if you're cool, you're cool.
But that's weird, because we asked you to make a video for us and it was the antithesis of standoffish. The video you made for us, I do believe people recognize you as Ernie from Texas without a shirt on.
Let me see if we got that.
That was sick, man. That you're a character.
I mean, you guys, I guess I'm notorious for it, because you guys, I did it for you. And then with Compa Milo from Por Vida, he's like, hey, we got this Zoom meeting that we're going to have. And hey, you should really come in. I want you to tap in. So I was like, I was in Texas. I had just moved. So I got on the Zoom meeting. I just got out of the shower. It's hot as hell in Texas. So I had no shirt. He's like, bro, like, put a shirt on, man. Put a shirt
You're
on.
Yo, why, fool? Like,
why?
You Look getting at all aroused this. Or what?
Milo is getting aroused. Sorry, Milo, you know, I don't swing that way.
I see Paza anymore.
So, but yeah, the shirtless thing, it's just.
Dude, you were a figure here. You were like a personality here. Yeah, people still love and miss you here in San Diego, in Barrio Logan, in Chula Vista, everywhere down here.
It's either. Last time I was down here for Chicano Park Days, mm-hmm. I was on Logan eating that carrito, and all of a sudden I started hearing, is that the cowboy on the block? Is that the cowboy? Is that Pelon? Is that? It's like,
Pelon.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, it's just like.
You're like Carlito Brigante when he went back to the hood in Carlito's way, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, hey, man, Carlito, hey. That's old school.
You always got to worry about that Benny Blanco from the Bronx, though.
There's always a Benny Blanco.
If
you don't know who the Benny Blanco is, he's close. Mm-hmm. He's very close. Be careful.
Exactly.
I got 3 Benny Blancos to come eye on.
Nah, but San Antonio, it's been good. It's not as beautiful as San Diego. It's a totally different kind.
I mean,
totally
we're America's thing. Finest city, Barry. Can you confirm?
And I want to.
Like, number one, most expensive, baby. Don't worry. We're going to be joining you out there soon. Your friends, we're all coming.
Hella expensive, bro. I was on a podcast called The Voice of San Diego. And we were talking about it, and I brought up a couple of. I feel like when I went on that podcast, I'd be smart, Barry. I had to talk intelligent shit.
Is that why you didn't take me?
Yeah, I was like, I have to say intelligent shit here. So we were talking, and like, Steve, what's on your mind? What stories have you read lately? And I was like, the rising cost of everything. And it's there was an article by KPBS that stated, in order to raise a family of 4 in San Diego, you need to make minimum $110,000. You know, minimum. Yeah. Not it didn't even say if you're renting. It didn't say if you're owning a home.
That's what you got to make.
Yeah. Like owning a home, I feel, is less expensive than actually renting right now. Because if you're renting, you're paying.
Oh, you're paying $3,000.
Minimum, dog. For a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom pad,
$3,000.
You're paying $3,000 to $4,000. And it depends on the zip code, but it won't vary too much.
I saw a place for rent. I was telling my wife the other day, I saw a place for rent, $1,635. For a 3-bedroom, 3-bath. It's just like,
in Texas.
In Texas.
In San Antonio.
Yeah.
Good communities or what? What's down there?
Yeah, it's a lot of, I mean, they're suburban communities. They're okay. A lot, like a lot of East Lakes.
It's like just cookie cutters.
House on house on house on house. And so eventually I want let my kids finish school and then eventually move out farther away from the city.
You don't want to be around?
No. I don't like this.
You want to be even more lonely, bro. Mm-hmm. Just drinking needle in the hay, listening to Elliot Smith.
Exactly. Needle in the hay. I want to have
singing the stars at night.
when we went down there, I took a few of my friends. We went together to watch a Houston Astro versus the almighty San Diego Padres, which you were supposed to go on and you dipped out on us.
Yeah.
We went down there and we went to a couple bars and in every little restaurant or bar that we were in, like we started singing the stars are, yeah, fool. Oh,
Pee-wee Herman.
Dude, Pee-wee Herman, the stars at bright, something, something night. And then motherfuckers, deep in the heart, like Texas. Real shit. Yeah. Motherfuckers finished that song, Barry. Like people were out there and we were like, oh man, we must be getting on people's nerves. But no. The people from Houston were getting into it and singing it and being a part of it. Very, very Southern hospitality in everyone that we met. Yeah. It was there. Like there was no denying. We didn't meet one weenie. We didn't meet one douchebag. Everybody was cool.
It's there. It's definitely there.
The cops didn't like that we were smoking weed though.
Oh yeah. No.
They busted Willie Nelson.
That's crazy.
But they didn't arrest him. His ass go.
So what is the deal with weed in Texas?
So they have a very low THC weed that they are able to sell.
Okay.
And then they have this thing called beta 9 or data 9 or something. Delta 9 is like an
okay
imitation weed kind of thing. Same, looks like weed. And then oils and resins are completely illegal.
Oils and resins are completely illegal. Well, thank God we didn't take anything down there, though.
Yeah, I got arrested one time.
Go ahead. Tell us more.
We were coming back from a bar in Alpine, and it's 15 minutes from there to Marfa, and we got pulled over by the troopers, state troopers, on the way back.
For what?
They said we were going to see the Marfa lights.
And your cowboy hat's not big enough.
We were going to go see the Marfa lights, and they said we were in the turning lane too long. It was middle of the night. We were in the turning lane too long, so they pulled us over, and then they're like, well, this smells like weed in the car. I'm like, well, I have a pen right here. Like, it's less than a gram, so I'm like, okay, nah. PTSD, you know. And so pulled everybody out the car. There was a gun in the glove compartment. I didn't know there was a glove in the glove. My cousin's like, oh, that's mine. Like,
is that allowed in Texas? You can have it?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So everything happened.
They're probably happier about the gun than the
weed.
They pulled us out. They pulled us out of the car, searched the whole car, found the gun, searched the whole rest of the car, gave my pen. I had no problem with it. And then searched everybody. And then it was like, okay, everybody was clean and everything. So they're like, okay. Sir, can I have you turn around, put your hands behind your back? For what? Oh, you're under arrest for possession of controlled substance. I'm like,
so it's not allowed down there at all?
That governor is like very anti.
El Abbott, ¿cómo se llama?
Yeah, Abbott, Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott, thank you very much. Yeah,
he's in a wheelchair. He needs smokes just so he can relax.
Is he pretty uptight, pretty high strung?
Yeah.
But I thought people from Texas love being from Texas. They love everything about Texas.
Depends who you talk to.
Oh, really? Yeah. So the truth is out.
There's a lot of transplants, too.
It's because you got that California mentality. You're like, I got to do what I want, motherfucker.
Yeah, true. But there's a lot of transplants out there that kind of ruin it for everybody. Austin. I don't go by Austin. Austin has all the...
Joe Rogan's?
Girls that wear
Thanks a lot,
hats.
Joe Rogan.
Girls that wear their hats like this, and they go, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go do that.
Well, they're having seizures or what's going on?
No. I guess I'm not allowed to wear my hat like that.
Barry, note to self, do not wear hats like that.
Yeah, that's how all the chicks in Austin wear their hats like this. Oh, God. Hats. And then they're just like, oh, my gosh, you have so much beer.
So you have mimosas? In Chihuahua.
So,
do you stick out in Texas or in San Antonio, or do you blend in?
Actually, I do, because I'm the motherfucker dressed like a cowboy. I dress like this every day.
Yeah, so. You were dressing like that when you were here.
Yeah,
like and this is an act. Like you legitimately, you own like a rooster. I think you hang out on horses and shit.
Yeah, I have all my compas at San Antonio Charro Association. My boys at San Antonio Charro Association.
Charro Association, fool! Yeah. Look at you.
So I'm. I think next year I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start to try to. Be a charro.
What does that mean? Tell the people. Tell Barry what charro means.
So charro is like Mexican rodeo. And I actually have an Instagram account that I do. I started off photography, and it's called Vario Vaqueros. And so I just started taking pictures of horses and stuff like that. And then
Kinky.
From horses. And then these guys invited me because I was like, you know what? When I went out to San Antonio, I didn't have nobody, no friends, no nothing. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to call these guys and say, hey, can I go ride horses with you guys or come check you guys out? Invite, come be here tomorrow, 5 o'clock.
Boom.
Boom. And ever since then.
Secret handshake or not?
Nah. He's just like, hey.
Get in. Saddle or no saddle?
I got a saddle too,
yeah,
bro.
I don't know. I fucking don't want to tell a lot of country western movies.
No, homies hooked me up with a saddle. Yeah. Give me a good price on a saddle. Like they really.
How much does it cost to maintain a horse, dude? It seems like it would be so much money.
Horses are expensive to maintain. Like just even buying one.
¿Cuánto comen los cabrones, bro?
Just buying one, like for these charro guys, $15,000 to $25,000 just for the horse.
Do you have to have a car? Do you have a car, or is a horse enough?
No, you have to have, you got to have the horse, you got to have the trailer, you got to have the stable to keep them. Oh, you got to have the, about a month is probably like $300-$400 to maintain a horse.
It's a whole new family member.
Yeah.
What's your horse's name?
I don't have any horses right now. Oh, okay. I had my horse down here, with Bandolero.
El Bandolero.
He was a black dancing horse.
Go ahead, dog. Yeah. Look at you.
And then so.
How'd you get into the country style? The whole swag, bro. Las botitas, la tejana.
That's actually a funny story because I used to have this black Chevy Tahoe all murdered out, all black. And I always used to get pulled over, bro. Always used to get pulled over. And I just started wearing a cowboy hat with the rest of my stuff. And then it was like, stop pulling me over. So okay, I'm gonna start put on another shirt, you know? And ever since then, it was just like, hey, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you? Like, you're like a ranchero, cross cholo, you're un pinche rancholo. So that's kind of what stuck as the rancholo of San Diego. So
there it is. And what would they pull you over for, man? And why did you make friends with them?
Tinted windows, music, tinted windows, just the way that I looked. Uh-huh. Just whatever they can.
But they don't fuck with you in Texas.
Smelled like weed.
That don't matter here.
In fact, they'll be like, you got a gun? No, here's some weed instead.
Yeah, have a weed.
In Texas, cops don't care about anything.
No, like, except for weed.
Yeah, well, the state troopers, but in Texas and San Antonio, it's called Bexar County, Bear County, but they spell Bexar. I don't like when I lived down here. I heard the police all the time. Heard the fire. I don't see nothing.
Great place to raise a family.
Yeah.
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 Wow. Yeah. Man.
Just the schools there.
Every now and then, this fool sends me videos. He'll send me videos of look at this community in Texas. Oh, look at that community. Oh, look at vacation here. Oh, look, this is where all the narcos live around this man-made lake in this community. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, fool, like, you're trying to get me to move down there and shit, fool.
I'm trying to have some friends. Yeah.
When we moving, I'm down. Let's go.
How much money would it take to just uproot and go live right now in Texas? In San Antonio. San Antos, as the locals call it.
You could get a nice 3-bedroom house in a nice area. 240.
If I jumped here and took 50,000 with me, is that a good nest egg to start, like purchase a house, down payment, and just kind of get things going?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice house at Torpeo?
Nice house. Yeah. Everything's brand new.
You give me a job out there, fool? Yeah. I'll start from the bottom, whatever you need.
UPS. They got a UPS out there.
They got a UPS out there.
That's right, huh?
I was about to ask you for a job with UPS after I saw that guy's paycheck.
That paycheck, man. The people are fooled by it. Right now, it's bumping. It's busy, but the slow times are coming. It's usually like February, March.
I mean, I worked for UPS early in my career. And the thing about UPS is that, the fast season, December pumps.
Yeah.
But after that,
it slows down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it slows down. And only people who have seniority there. Fortunately for you guys, I've been there now 10 years, and I feel like I've made all of the cuts to not get laid off. For all of you not in that position, keep on hustling. Keep on crying.
Are you guys 542?
Yeah. Union 542, the same one as Pinchy Costco. And I had zero clue what unions were until I worked at UPS. Yeah. And now I'm like, fuck, I love unions, bro. I love the way they get down and get our back. And basically, I don't know anyone who's got fired from UPS. You got fired?
No, I didn't get fired. I was going to say, if you got fired from a union, well, I got laid off from the union.
Yeah? That's otro pedo. Yeah, I mean, no one can outrun a layoff. Yeah, when there's no work, there's no work.
No. This was, I had beef with somebody.
Who'd you hit, fool? With some spurs or what?
I didn't hit. We just had,
words.
My captain.
Words hurt, though.
Sticks and stones, bro.
Yeah, we got into it. And he had the main guy come out and we still had, we didn't settle our tiffle. Mm. And I think they were just tired of it. And said, like, we'll get the fuck out of here.
Really? No severance package or nada? Te mandaron a volar así nomás. Shout out that company, bro.
Fuck them.
So it was engineering.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to school for that?
No.
No? I see it below.
Self-taught. Actually, self-taught. And when I went from engineering, I had this little tiny, she's a little lesbian girl who taught me engineering. She was a chief engineer.
A little lesbian girl. Okay, well, welcome back to San Diego. We have pronouns here, bro.
We got them.
We got
them? We got them.
Clip
what's,
that.
What's the right term?
What's I'm the, pretty sure it's not little lesbian girl. Oh,
I'm going to say big lesbian girl. Well,
if the hat fits, my friend.
She made it quite clear. And she's like, am I going to be like G.I. Jane? Is everybody going to walk away from the table when I come sit down with them? I'm like, no, girl. Like, what's up?
Is that what they did in G.I. Jane?
Yeah.
I never watched the one with Demi Moore. I know about it, but I don't think I've ever watched it.
Oh, dude.
Good movie?
Yeah.
You like those kinds of movies, huh?
Yeah. Well, Demi Moore, she's a badass in that
movie.
She sucked my dick. I'm like, yeah, girl.
There you go.
Yeah. So she's a badass.
Little lesbian girl's the only thing I heard throughout that whole conversation.
That's the name for a band.
Oh my God. Good for you, man. Look at you. You really listen to a lot of Joe Rogan, probably.
All
right. Hey, Joe Rogan is huge over there, right?
Joe Rogan, you guys are my top two podcasts.
There it is, bro. There it is.
After you're over, it comes on Joe Rogan. So.
There. Oh, be first. I'm the appetizer. I like that.
I listen to you guys. That's why I said every morning at 8 o'clock on Mondays or whatever, if you guys have podcasts, I'll sit there and I'll light the fires and have you guys playing in the pit room.
See what we do, bro? See what we do? We can never leave this thing of ours because there's people in Texas who are waiting for us.
Dude, people like when they walk by, are like,
they need us.
Who is that? They're funny. Like
they or like me?
They.
Well, fortunately for you guys,
Angel, they, you.
I identify as they. No cierto. Respectfully. Damn. This episode's going to get us canceled. This episode's going to get us canceled.
We need the cancel counter for sure.
I got to go sit over there.
You're going to get demoted to the cancel couch. Leave your hat on, Fulo.
Shirt off?
Oh, shit. That's a dope ass hat. That's a dope ass hat. Do you have a pitealo on under the...
Hell yeah.
Look at that. Pitealo. Do you know what a pitealo is, Barry?
Oh, you know, it's a tank
right
top.
There. Look at that.
I can't say the right word, right?
Wife beater. Formerly known. Or an A tank, right? Something like that.
A shirt.
A shirt. Yeah. Do you have A shirt underneath?
Hell yeah.
I have A shirt underneath this. Yes, I do.
What's that one they used to wear that wasn't like a full shirt? Like a dickie is what they called it?
No sé, güey, ¿cuál?
You never seen that shit?
No, man.
So they would like, if you were going to wear like a fancy shirt, but you didn't want to look like your nipples were out and shit.
Oh, shit.
And it was too hot for two shirts, you would wear a dickie, which was like just a little... And like all the cartoons, like they would always like roll up and hit you in the face. You remember that shit?
No, fool. What the hell kind of cartoons are you watching, man?
Look up the dickie.
And episode name brought to you by Barry. Look up the dickie. So what brings you back to San Diego right now, Ernie? What's cracking? What's going on here in San Diego? Just a quick family vacation, quick little getaway.
Yeah, quick getaway. I saved up all my vacation time to come back to San Diego and I had 2 weeks left. So
family still live here?
Yeah, my mom and dad, they live in Tirasana. They're doing great. My brother's doing well. He's always sick, but he's...
Your brother? What do you mean he's always sick?
He's sick. He's got some sort of flu or something.
Yeah, your brother's a bully.
He's got COVID.
He has COVID?
Yeah.
Oh, your brother's a bully. He's a jujitsu practitioner.
He likes to roll on the floor with other guys
in
his underwear.
He does, man. He is a black belt. He is a bully on the mats, bro. I've had the opportunity to roll with him a couple of times, and he is tough.
Yeah.
And it's not fun rolling with them. How was it growing up with a bully, dog?
I think he calls me the bully part.
You were the bully?
Yeah.
You created him.
I think so.
You created
me and my,
him.
Me and my cousin, we bullied him a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's the little brother.
Yeah.
That's funny, man, because he's a big motherfucker.
He's bigger than both of us.
Dude, they call him Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
His name is literally Frank the Tank.
When he won the last fight, that he's older. Chucking like a tank.
Shit, bro. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Not the kind of guy I'd like to come across in a bar drinking, talking shit, because those kinds of guys are dangerous.
I mean, once you know, because he's got the cauliflower here, and once you know, it's like, that guy got, I don't want to mess with those guys.
If I see a dude in an A shirt, some board shorts, flip-flops, and cauliflower hair, I don't give a fuck what's going on. I'm turning around and walking around him or walking the other way.
Call my mother, whatever he wants.
Yeah, man, because those guys, you just see them very respectful until the shit hits a fan. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you're shaped like a pretzel on the floor.
Yeah, it won't be a fist-to-fist fight.
Oh, no, bro.
Yeah.
They're going to shoot you in the legs, and you're going to be on the ground like, and these guys are going to be side control, and their forearm is going to be pressed up against your eye socket. Sleeping. Es otro pelo, bro.
Sleeping.
Es otro pelo. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, you were telling me about a documentary.
Oh, yeah.
That you were working on with the world-famous Clea.
Yes.
Clea, a friend of the show. We should be getting her back in here in January. Tell us a little bit about that. The Albanian.
Albanian. me and Clea go way back, and how I met Clea, we were doing similar things, but we had developed a relationship, a friendship, and we were doing things. I was doing things for guys. She was doing things for girls, and we were just collaborating on a lot of things. And she was doing the doll face thing with the rehab things, and I was working with Homeboy Industries up in LA, trying to do a Homeboy Industries down here in Barrio Logan and stuff like that. That was that's still one of my dreams to do, is like a Homeboy Industries, expand their program down here. But when we linked up, we did with Ruben Torres.
Compa Ruben.
We did, what was it? Love Thy Neighbor. Love Thy Neighbor. Toy Drive at Jack Murphy Stadium, when it was still Jack Murphy Stadium. And then so we hooked up, and then Clay and I, we just kept in touch. My oldest son was living in Alaska, and she had an opportunity for three artists, designers that wanted to collab with her. And then she ended up picking my son, because my son was the one to do fashion design. And so my son was in Alaska, came back living down here, and she actually made a drop with some of his artwork on some of her sweatshirts. So she worked with him, and he had come back from Alaska. He's up in Alaska visiting and fishing, doing all that stuff. Long story short, my son ended up passing away from fentanyl overdose. And she was there. She helped me through a lot of stuff. But we were like, you know what? Let's really turn this around and make something of this and really dedicate something to him. So me and her, or it was her idea. She asked me if I was down. And so we got together and we started working on this documentary called Nobody Plans on Dying. And so we are the first family that she interviews, of many families that we're going to be interviewing for this Nobody Plans on Dying. But so we did our interviews, interviewed my wife, my kids, a couple of other people. You guys did some interviews here, and we probably around January, we're probably going to look at releasing it into schools and stuff like that.
What a heavy project, man.
Yeah.
What a heavy.
But at the same time, if it's something that you can change somebody's
mind, it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
It has a purpose.
If it can save one person's life from having to go through the drama, and not drama, but just the grief and
the heartache,
and
man.
Heartache and turmoil that me and my family have been through. If I can save somebody from doing that, then that's my goal. So.
That is a reality right there, man. That is,
I mean, yeah, it is a tough pill to swallow. But at the same time, am I just going to be quiet about it? But I don't want to be quiet.
It's therapy.
I want to honor my son and let people know that he was a good kid. And this can happen to anybody. And it's happened to anybody.
Man,
and
it's a common tale now, Ernie.
Yeah.
I know, on both hands, I know of people who have passed away from fentanyl. Yeah. When you say it could happen to anybody, this could touch anyone at any moment, from it's my first time trying this to I casually do that to I'm an addict of this. It could touch anybody and it leaves a lifelong mark on you, bro.
Yeah. It's like, if you ever seen a bad car wreck, I mean, how the skid marks and everything in the car, just the damage that it causes. Imagine that in your life. And that's the same thing, and you're just trying to pick up pieces and go, but it's like, you know what, I'm not gonna pick up pieces, I'm gonna embrace this, what happened, and I'm gonna make something of it, and I'm gonna try to stop this from happening.
You are a strong man, man. You are a strong father, and you have little boys and little girl and raising a family still. So that, did it help moving to Texas? Was that like a nice little outlet, a little
it was definitely.
You needed to get away.
Yeah, I needed to get away. It was definitely a stress reliever. I definitely think that I had suffered from PTSD from that whole day.
Why wouldn't you, man?
La Bamba fucks me up.
Yeah.
Watching Richie's mom in the end, like, I get chills talking about it. But hearing, I've heard it before on other podcasts and other books that I've read. And it's just like, when you hear that scream of a woman or of a mom that's lost their child.
A shrill.
The shriek, it's unbearable. And I've heard it too many times. Mm. Once is more than enough, you know, and I don't want anybody else to feel that. So however I can help out kids or families that are going through that, that's always been.
And that documentary, that is the main purpose of that documentary.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, man. Good for you for digging deep and finding a purpose, I guess you can say, with this what happened with your son. Because that's, you're turning something traumatic into something potentially that can help somebody, guide them from the darkness into the light, man.
Exactly. That's always been my goal, is just like, I've learned so much. I went to church. I went to the Rock, and I became a pastor. And I was Miles' security guard.
Another feather in your cap, dog. Jesus.
And at the same time, it's like, I'm still learning. And the way I learn is I take the bits and pieces, what I think is legit and what I don't think is legit, and I separate them. I separate the bullshit from the real shit. And so I caught the whole mega church. And I'm not bashing any churches or anybody's way that they make themselves better, but it just wasn't for me. That whole mega church thing is a scam, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have life.
You got to find what works for you.
Exactly.
Because not every solution is for everyone. There is no universal solution.
If that works for you, then
good.
Then God bless you.
Embrace it. Let it embrace you. Yeah.
At the same time, when I was going to that church, I was getting criticized by a lot of the other people that were in there, and I was criticized by a lot of the leaders in the church. And it's just like, you know,
why?
Because we were a Christian motorcycle group and just had tattoos and just
a motorcycle group también. Yeah. Este güey, cálmate, desconéctate.
Yeah,
but is staying busy part of the therapy?
Yeah, staying busy is definitely
just like, just fucking therapy. Let's keep moving.
Yeah,
let's stay busy.
Staying busy and learning.
Yeah,
like, I'm constantly trying to learn about something.
You're a little bit of a savant with things then, bro. Yeah. You just always jump into new projects and just figure it out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually come close to mastering them.
Yeah.
If not mastering them.
Exactly.
Oh man.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
It makes me, it's just
that. Since you were little or what?
It's a challenge, I guess. It's just like, I love making things look nice. I love making things be successful.
Yeah. Can you help Barry?
Yeah, I was just like, can you help me out?
What you need, Barry?
Put Barry on camera.
What's
there he is.
Like, what's that? What's that? Barry?
Barry be needing everything you're talking about, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no,
that's hard.
It's something that a lot of people don't like to talk about.
No, para
but
nada.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, if I feel comfortable talking about it for the people that don't feel comfortable talking about it. And if I can be that voice for people, it's like, hey, this is how we feel.
And your son deserves that.
Yeah.
Your son deserves to be, you know, brought up and referenced to, and just the memory remains, you know.
One thing that I always say is ever since after he passed away, is like, you know what? I've spiritually grown, and my son's not dead. Mm-hmm. My son's just in a different dimension. Mm-hmm. And I see my son. I talk to my son. And it's just like, he's there. He hears me. And there's little signs that he'll, like, even on the trip over here, it's like, hey, just watch us when we go over there. And I'm filling up gas, 2222777. It's like, those are all little signs, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, I'm just grateful that I could still be able to contact and recognize those things that are being sent to me.
In addition to that, you heavily believe into things of that outer world, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big,
you're heavy into
I'm a very big spiritualist.
I'm gonna have to share some of the links that you share with me with my wife. My wife is like all in, dog.
Yeah.
She's always been all in with the other side, mm-hmm. with aliens. And she just now started like legitimately like peeling back layers and say, careful when you go down that fucking rabbit hole. Cause you're gonna delve deep. And then pretty soon you're going to be wanting going to events, and I'm not going to go with you.
I'm going
to go on your own.
I'm a big conspiracy theorist.
That's the word I was like, we're just conspiracy theorists too, man.
Conspiracy theorists.
But at the same time, I have a big filter that I filter through all the bullshit with government and just church and state.
Go ahead.
It's just like, I just filter through all that stuff.
Share it, fool. Share it. Let's get canceled.
Well, you were asking me about what this branches of government.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, Congress was one. What are the other two?
I don't know, fool.
All right.
Ask Barry. Barry's American as fucking mayonnaise and bologna. And he don't know what the three branches.
Legislative.
Go ahead.
Executive.
Judicial. And judicial.
And judicial.
What's up, man? I'm ready to be an American citizen.
There you go.
I looked it up last week.
Yeah, because we had the fighter who went up against Kiki was here last week. We had the nice little back and forth with him. And I asked because he was a recent citizen of our fair country. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, yeah, Playboy. Give me the three branches of government. And he had no idea. Motherfucker said Democratic and fucking Republican and Donald Trump. I was like, and we're like, no, fool, that ain't it.
Fox News.
Fox See, News.
That's, I mean, that's why I just, ever since I was a kid, like, America's, yeah, it's the greatest country in the world by far. But the government, I think, is worse than the Mexican
government. Go ahead.
I just think that, so when we were little.
Ladies and gentlemen, the views expressed by Ernie from Texas, Del Salgado, Texas, man, do not necessarily represent the views of Emo Brown, but goddammit, if he's not getting close.
The Republic of Texas.
Go ahead. The Republic of Texas seceding, bro.
We're breaking off. We're forming our own country.
Yeah.
See, we got to get in there soon. They're not going to let us in soon.
Do we want to get in there?
Hey, we got all the guns, Holmes.
Do you? Yeah. We'll get into that. Tell me more about this, the government you're telling me right now.
So growing up, all of us said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. So you got indivisible. We're already divided because you got Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. So that we fucked up there. No, we don't even recognize God in anything anymore. It's just, and you have all these people like Nancy Pelosi.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes, boy. Nancy Pelosi is worth, I think they said she's worth like $120 million. And her salary for what she did was like $366,000.
So How did she get to that?
She would have, some guy broke it down, like she would have to be served her terms for like 900 years.
To reach that number.
Have you seen her? It looks like she has.
Damn. But I'm Barry. See him at the Tipsy Crow every Tuesday, 2 p.m.
It was easy. I'm sorry. I was low hanging out of Iraq.
I thought that's the Barry was.
Barry's all in.
That's not a 9,000 year old. No.
No, but I'm
You're woke.
I'm woke. Yeah.
You're woke in that conspiracy way, though.
Yeah.
Texas woke.
Texas woke.
No,
bro.
Because they're about that. They're about that government stuff.
Yeah. You know? Have you ever seen some shit that like leads you to think like, oh my gosh.
Like what?
I don't know. Aliens, ghosts.
Oh, I've seen aliens.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, for sure.
Let me hear it.
Okay, so my time engineering out on boats, fishing. I was out on fishing boats. My best UFO story. I gotta get ready for this.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, the Texas Cut Pendleton brought to you by Texas Ernie.
So we were fishing in Mexico. I did fish for 5 years. And so when I was fishing, I was up on watch in the middle of the night. And I seen...
What are you watching in the middle of the night on a boat?
So you don't crash into other boats.
Oh, Titanic. Yeah. Go ahead.
And so I was on watch in the middle of the night, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, all of a sudden, the ocean was glowing. And it was big, dude. It was like a football field size, and it was probably like 20 feet down in the water, and the water was glowing in a perfect like square kind of rectangle thing. And I don't know anything in the water that can be like that. Like, it had to be some sort. And I think the UFOs are in the water.
Go ahead.
Because
might as well go all in with it. Yeah, let's go.
So if you have the Navy videos, they have the Navy those UFOs just splashing in the water. I think it's like the movie The Abyss. I think that's where they go into where they want when they come to.
Look at you, fool.
We know more about space than we do about our own oceans.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Barry with a deep cut. There.
Actually, NASA stopped exploring the ocean like in the 1970s.
Why?
They never
it's
said
too
why.
Vast.
They found something spooky.
You think so?
I think so.
Every time we go to Guadalajara, when we visited Chapala, they have a lake. Lake Chapala. Chapala Lake. Lago Chapala. And the locals are convinced that there are spaceships that leave and arrive in that lake. And they say that they're apparently that is a very active part of Guadalajara, of Mexico, of Jalisco overall. Like it's very active as it relates to like aliens and unidentified flying objects. Bananas. I want to believe, bro.
Come to Marfa.
Why?
We have so Marfa is known for its Marfa lights. So okay. These lights in the middle of the desert that just like, they like flicker and like go out.
What is that all about?
They don't know. They've had unsolved mysteries out there. They've had FLIR. You know what FLIR is?
No.
FLIR. You could see like heat. Like
infrared or something?
Infrared, yeah.
Okay.
And so they had FLIR take out their top piece of equipment. They couldn't figure it out. They've had like 100 people go and try to circle them and go meet in the middle. Couldn't figure it out. And these have been going on since the 1800s and before cars were invented. So I've seen them. They're out in the middle of something.
Is this before or after you got caught with a controlled substance? I'm asking.
I didn't make it. I was in the police car, but no, I've seen them before.
Yeah.
I've seen like when I was on the boat, it was like we're in a code group and four boats were going out and we were the boat.
You sounded Canadian for a second. Four boots. Went out in the boots.
Texas to Canada real quick.
Boots were going out and we went going behind them. I mean, you know, and then.
And then you went, what the hell was that one?
And then I seen this light just like shoot across.
Uh-huh.
And then it went back the other way. And I was like, at first I thought it was a shooting star, but then it was like, that motherfucker went back the other way. So
maybe it just changed its mind.
Yeah.
Well, and then
maybe his wife called him and he had to go back to get something over at the store. They're like, yeah, you forgot the milk. Wait, oh, fuck. Oh, God.
You're up on the five.
And so all the other four guys in the code group on the boats ahead of me, they're like, everything was radio silence for a long time. And somebody's like, did you guys see that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know how I would handle that. I've never seen anything, so I can't like say, oh, hell yeah, fool, I believe in that. I've seen some shit that I can't describe, but again, not enough to be like, oh, yeah, definitely this. Yeah. Wifey, all in, dude. Wifey, oh, yeah. Hella in. Yeah. She's ready, you know? She would be that lady in the movie Independence Day with a sign on the top of the roof saying, please, take me with you. Yeah. And then get obliterated by a weird light, you know? Yeah. Me, I'd be on the sideline, be like, what the fuck is going on here? What is this, man? Where are you guys going?
Are they cool or what?
Yeah, and I don't think I would like them. I don't think they would like me. They'd be like, what's this guy all about?
No, I think they would love you.
Why?
You got the greens.
Got the greens, bro. Damn. Fucking Marfa. Every time you post a picture of Marfa, it seems like there's like that one store. It's in the middle of
the Prada store.
Yeah, okay. What's that all about?
The Prada store is actually an art piece that it doesn't open.
Okay.
It's just in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Okay.
And it has shoes and purses like on display in there, like a store, but
and nobody's broken into it.
They never get jacked. What the fuck?
I think the doors, the glass is super thick. People have vandalized like the awnings and stuff like that, and they replaced
them. Finchies aliens.
And they fix it up again, but it's been out there since 1993.
Damn, Ernie, you said a lot today. Mm.
Talk too much.
No, I just didn't talk to you forever. What else you got? Spit some more shit. We're going to lunch on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, we're gonna go. You never been to Filippi's?
In Little Italy, I think I've been once, maybe. Okay. I've been to. We go to Filippi's a lot, at least once a month. My kids, their pizza, their go-to pizza, they have two. They have Lefties in North Park, and they have Filippi's in Chula Vista.
There's no pizza places, and there's no Italians in San Antonio.
No,
no. I'm like looking for Little Italy so I could get some good gabagool or something.
Gabagool, get a cannoli.
And there's no Italian. Community.
How's the Mexican food?
It's horrible.
You're gonna get canceled down there.
You know, I don't care.
Go ahead.
They don't know the difference between a taco and a burrito.
Don't tell me. Tell the camera.
They don't know the difference between a taco and a burrito. Mm. A taco is on a corn tortilla folded in half. Mm. A burrito is served in a flour tortilla.
Okay.
They got tacos in a flour tortilla that are this big, and it's just like they're not even fried, but it's a taco.
I'm into it, dude.
Tacos dorados, like hard shell tacos.
Uh huh. Taco Bell.
Yeah. But at Mexican restaurants out there, they don't serve them. I actually had some lady out there that said, tacos dorados son tacos de pobres.
Oof.
Yeah.
They call me a pobre because that shit's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things is
taco doraditos.
Yeah.
Taco de papa dorado. What?
Yeah, the carne.
Whatever. Yeah. Carne molida probably out there. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. It's all carne molida.
What is Texas caviar?
Texas caviar is it's corn, chickpeas, and bell pepper. It's pretty good.
What is Texas toast? I'm just going down the list of shit that's not taking.
Texas is great, but the food
not for you.
It's not for me. That's why.
But your restaurant.
My restaurant. It's doing well. I'm in a program at the Pearl. I just graduated their Hospitality Academy.
Look at you, bro.
So I was nominated to go to the Hospitality Academy out of one out of 13 people. So
how soon before you running that academy for?
I applied to go be an instructor.
Look at you.
So I want to be able to share like the knowledge that I have. It's just like it's not going to do me any good when I die.
You're too knowledgeable. I think you know too much.
Like a hospitality drill instructor. Like you folded that napkin wrong. You didn't say hello.
Exactly.
Give me 50.
It's
that's not the salad fork.
it's almost like that, but it's. If somebody's giving you a hard time, I'm sorry you're having that experience, sir. So
get the fuck out of here.
What can I do to make your experience better? It's like, mind you could be, get the fuck out of here.
Everyone's so polite down there.
That's the Texas way.
They all go to hospitality school.
Yeah, that's right. Go to beer down there. I had a Lone Star beer. Is that any good?
Ooh, go to beer. Lone Star? No, it's like a Budweiser.
Okay.
It's very hangoverish in the morning. Mm.
Adjuncts. Sweet.
Yeah. My go-to beer right now is either the Voodoo Ranger.
Okay.
At the liquor store, or else they have this on draft. It's called Electric Jellyfish.
Oh, right.
It's the closest thing to a West Coast IPA that I can
get. Look
at you. There.
Miss San Diego so bad. For
Just a beer. Just I would love to have
feel free to take whatever you want out of our fridge.
Yeah, we got some stuff in there for you.
We got you. Yeah.
Well, we're going to hang out, Barry. We're going to hang out with them on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're going to Little Italy, hang out, probably go to the tasting room for a little bit for a couple beers. go to Philippi's. Looks like we're going to Philippi's. Gonna have a pie. Gonna have a pie. You down or what?
Yeah, and then you can come catch me at Tipsy Crow. 3 o'clock. Yeah.
3 o'clock on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. Is that what
we said? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. I'm back in the hood by four, dude.
He's gonna be asleep.
Yeah, so I'm down to go have lunch if you're available, Barry. I'd love it if you go. We'll go.
Can you come bring your guitar and play us a song?
I can do it right now, too.
Take it easy. Yes. Deep in the heart of Texas.
I'll learn it.
Ernie, I'm happy you stopped by, dog.
No, thank you for having me again.
Shut up, man. This is your home. Don't be a weenie. This is your home. Whatever you need from us, however we can help. And anything related to the documentary.
Appreciate that.
Pushing, promoting, and just making it available in any way we can. We're in, man. I'm a big fan of you. I respect you immensely. I know how you get down. I know how you work. I know how you hustle. And I'm very much about that. And I'm proud to call you my compa. I'm proud to call my friend, but I will never move to Texas. Barry, hit them buns, bro. We out of here.
You're coming, bro.
Woo!